Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee and note for the record that today is Saturday, April 5th, 2008. We've had a number of Saturday meetings in this committee and appreciate folks helping out with that. Saturday, April 5th, 2008, members present are Senators Davis, Ellis, and Stevens. We're calling the meeting to order at about 11:11 in the morning. We have four bills on today's calendar. We want to begin with bills previously heard and scheduled. We'll take up Senate Bill 280, Medicaid Insurance for Cancer Clinical Trials. That bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee, followed by House Bill 331, Motor Vehicles, by Representative Roses. That has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. And then we'll be taking a first hearing, initial testimony, and presentation on House Bill 297, Practice of Veterinary Medicine, by Representative Newman, and House Joint Resolution 24, Opposing Federal Insurance Regulation, by Representative Coghill. So let's turn first to our packets on Senate Bill 280. It's Medicaid Insurance for Clinical Trials. Senator Davis is the sponsor. And as I said, this bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee, so it will have to compete up there with a lot of other legislation. But I'm in support of the legislation, and since our last hearing and this hearing, I don't believe any new issues or questions about the bill have arisen. And we got a pretty good explanation by the physicians at the last, the oncologists at the last meeting about what was contemplated by the bill. We had testimony from Linda Hall, Division of Insurance. So at this time, I'll open up the floor to committee discussion. And Dana, can you close the door, please? I'm distracted by the other committee. Okay, is there any discussion on Senate Bill 280?
Mr. Chairman, if you are willing to move the bill, I'd like to make a motion that we move it.
Yes, I'm happy to entertain that motion at this time. Senator Davis?
And I don't have the bill number, but it's okay. 280. 280, and it's, I don't see what number it is. Which is it? The bill.
If you just make the motion with Senate Bill 280, that's
okay. Adequate. I'd like to make a motion for 280 to be moved out of this committee with individual recommendations.
Okay.
And attached to this note.
Okay. Any discussion of the motion to move the bill? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. The bill moves on to the Senate Finance Committee. Thank you, Senator Davis.
Tom, you need to go.
Yep. Do you you have your folders?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What was the next one?
The next is House Bill 331 by Representative Roses, Motor Vehicle Licenses and Impoundments. Please join us again. This is the bill. It's pretty simple and straightforward. Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, testified that there was no problem with implementing this address issue, and there is a zero fiscal note, I believe, with the bill, because they're going to absorb this slightly extra or different work in their existing budget. Is that an accurate portrayal?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Crystal Kineman, staff Representative Roses, and that is correct.
Okay. So no further, we held the bill over as our custom in this committee. No opposition, no further issues have come or questions have come to us in further consideration of the bill. So I'm happy to entertain a motion at this time to move this bill on to Senate Judiciary.
Mr. Chairman, I move. We move out Senate Bill, CS for House Bill number 331 with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal loans.
Okay. Is there discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the bill moves on to Senate Judiciary.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. And give Representative Roses our regards. Okay, next let's move on to House Bill 297, Practice of Veterinary Medicine. Representative Newman has joined us. He's the prime sponsor of the bill. This committee is the only committee of referral on this legislation, and today is the first initial presentation, first hearing on the bill. We will hold it over and have the bill back before us in the near future. So, Representative Newman, good morning. Thank you for being here, and please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Mark Newman, District 15. Members of the committee, House Bill 297 allows the state Alaska State Board of Veterinary Medicine to issue a particular permit to people who are in their fourth year of professional licensing of veterinary medicine or practicing veterinary medicine or their last year. They generally go through 4 years of general college, then 4 years of professional college. This allows them to get a special permit to come and practice inside of a veterinary clinic in the state of Alaska. The thought being that they can get some OJT before they get out and start practicing on their own. And the thought, too, that we do have less than 200 vets in the state of Alaska, about 70 veterinary technicians in the state. And to try and retain and get more veterinarians to stay in Alaska and to maybe come up in Alaska, the thought being if they can practice in Alaska, that would be a good thing. It also allows, in Section 2, allows the mailing of those student permits by the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Division of OCC License. It also exempts certain persons from this, from obtaining a special license if they already have a federal license, if they're practicing on a military base, if they're licensed by a military agency or a federal agency, they do not have to get another license within the state. This is somewhat cleanup language that we're referring to in these next two issues. Also, it allows for a special permit to for people who come up and work at the zoo or the Sea Life Center, if they have a special field of medicine that they are in and come up to work within the state, or if they're working on avian flu or anything like that. So that's pretty much the bill. The gist of it being allowing fourth year or last year citizens who are trying to get their veterinary medical license to come up and get some OJT. That's the gist of what we're trying to do here, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative Newman. Are there questions or comments for the sponsor? Senator Stevens.
Just for the record, Representative Newman, can you tell us the position of the State Veterinary Association?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, this bill is, I'm carrying this on behalf of the Alaska State Board of Veterinary Medicine, and it is fully supported by the Alaska Veterinary Medical Board, or licenses or veterinary doctors. Their statewide board, and veterinarians across the state of Alaska.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything further for Representative Newman? If not, thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Jennifer Strickler is on the sign-in sheet, but has said no to testifying, but I think we're going to call her forward anyway, because we put stock in your opinion, and so we'd like you to make some comments about the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jennifer Strickler. I'm the licensing chief for the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing, Department of Commerce. The department fully supports this legislation. The Board of Veterinary Examiners, who is under the purview of the Division of Occupational Licensing, or CBPL, has wanted to make these changes for a number of years and was unable for whatever reason to get interest in someone carrying this type of changes for them. We were successful this year with Representative Newman, and we really appreciate that. So the department is behind this bill, and we urge passage of it.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Ms. Strickler? Ms. Strickler, there is an email in our packets from a Nelson Pretty, president of the Alaska State Veterinary Medical Association, saying that an issue related to reporting of animal cruelty will be addressed by the Board of Veterinary Examiners during their meeting in May. Excuse me. Is that so? That's on the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is correct. In the earlier part of the legislative session, there were a number of changes that were tried to be made to this bill on the House side. And one of the issues brought up was concern over reporting of cruelty to animals. And this was by a couple of veterinarians, one or two, who had issues with a board regulation. Instead of giving the board an opportunity to address that regulation they tried to encourage a change by statute. The board has promised to bring up this issue and address their concerns at their May meeting. The staff and I have gone through the records for the past several years to make sure we didn't drop the ball and miss a concern that was brought before the board. And as Dr. Bowser, a member of the board, testified before House Rules, in his 5 years with the board, an issue about reporting animal cruelty has never been brought to the board, but they will be addressing it.
Okay, so cruelty to animals has existed for forever, I suppose, unfortunately, but no concern ever came forward until this last time around, and then the board has now promised to have it on their agenda. So it's an official agenda item at this time?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay. Yeah, in Mr. Pretty's email, it says that issue will be appropriately addressed by the Board of Veterinary Examiners. I guess I would agree with that statement, unless it implies that the legislature can't or shouldn't address the issue. The legislature can do whatever it wants to do within the Constitution. So we could address it if we so chose, or we could decide to leave it to the Board of Examiners, who has promised to bring it up. So wouldn't want that to imply that we don't have the power to make this decision if we so chose.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments in that regard?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate you being here. Okay, that's all the folks I have signed up on this piece of legislation. Is there anyone else online or here in the room who would like to testify during the initial hearing on House Bill 297? If not, are there any requests for information from committee members at this time? If you think of something, to please get with the sponsor and to pass on your concerns through committee staff or your staff to my staff, and we'll make sure any questions are answered before our next hearing. Okay, with that concludes our initial public hearing on House Bill 297. Representative Newman, thank you for being with us. We will hold the bill over. Let's move on to House Joint Resolution number 24. And you're not Representative Coghill, but I'm sure he's busy today, and we appreciate you being with us for the initial presentation on the resolution opposing federal insurance regulation.
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. For the record, my name is Karen Lidster, and I am staff to Representative Coghill. And yes, sir, he is tied up in with another appointment in committee. HJR 24, which we have before us this morning, is opposing a federal regulatory insurance system. The resolution opposes attempts by Congress to divide the insurance regulation between the states and the federal government. The optional federal charter has been introduced in both chambers of the U.S. Congress. To avoid such a move by Congress to enact federal regulation of insurance, the legislature passed HB 439 unanimously on May of 2006. This bill added Alaska to the Interstate Insurance Product Regulation Compact. This commission, comprised of 30 states, serves as a single point of filing for specified insurance products and established uniform national standards for those products. HJR 24 affirms Alaska's opposition to the federal government attempting to supersede state regulation of insurance. And to just give you the information, when this bill came to the House floor, there was a amendment that was added to it, and it stated that it would be further resolved that the Alaska State Legislature oppose any attempt to weaken the current regulation of insurance by the state of Alaska. That was offered by Representative Gruenberg and supported by Representative Coghill, in order to make sure that if there happens to be any other legislation that might be being considered in the U.S. Congress, this resolution would strengthen the state's intention that the insurance regulation be left in, you know, with the state of Alaska. I have Linda Hall from the Division of Insurance to speak to you, and there are other members that have some information that want to present, but that is the initial presentation that I have, sir.
Okay. Ms. Litzer, thank you for being here and presenting the bill. Questions or comments for the Senator Stevens?
Yeah, I'm not sure who needs to answer this, but could we have a little explanation of the McCarran-Ferguson Act? Do we come from that, or?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I would appreciate the opportunity to let the Director of Insurance address that specifically.
Okay. And we will have Ms. Hall up in just a moment. Ms. Litzer, is this, the subject of this resolution is new to me. Are we just talking about who has the authority to regulate, or the states expressing themselves against overarching federal regulation? Is it just a turf issue in that term, or was Representative Coghill trying to get at national policy toward health insurance, or one side or the other on consumer issues within insurance regulations, or is it more the principle of the thing, or are we trying to affect policy debates that are occurring?
Mr. Chairman, initially what we are trying to do is let the federal government know that Alaska has its, the states have had their insurance regulation, and opening up that optional federal charter would split the insurance between perhaps a state regulation or federal regulation, and just making the statement that we believe it would be best if the insurance was left in the state of Alaska under our insurance, you know, regulations.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, it's the sponsor's intent is to make a clear statement about state's authority in regulation of insurance versus the federal government, as opposed to weighing in by proxy, essentially, on debate about national health insurance or any other kind of policy issue. It's not about the policies taking sides in that between the state and federal government. It's directed toward the authority, who has the authority to regulate insurance within the various states.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a correct summation. That
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood and that was on the record. Anything further for Ms. Litzer? If not, thank you for being here. We'll call forward Ms. Hall at this time. And then I have John Grummet signed up, but did not mark the box of whether he wanted to testify or not. So Ms. Hall, and then we'll call on Mr. Grummet to see what his intentions may be. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Linda Hall, Director of the Division of Insurance. It seems like I've been sitting in this chair a lot lately. As you were just discussing the intent of this bill, I would also emphasize what Ms. Litzer just said. I think this is a turf war, to, I guess, bluntly. It's a subject that's been debated in the National Regulatory Group, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, for a couple years now. There have been attempts originally by national life insurance companies. Life insurance is a very portable product. Why would we go through 50 different jurisdictions? And so there have been some attempts to have a dual regulation, so to speak. Companies that do business nationally could elect to be regulated under a federal regulator. Companies who are maybe regional or in-state, who don't do business outside of the state, would choose to be regulated by the state. So you would, in my mind, have an increasing encroachment by the federal regulator into the business that has been the state's sole obligation or authority to date. You ask, there was a question about McCarran-Ferguson. Basically, McCarran-Ferguson in 1945, Congress passed this regulation that gave regulatory jurisdiction over the business of insurance, and that is a legal term, to the states, and preempted the states from coming under any federal laws, including federal antitrust laws, without specifically saying these apply to insurance. And there have been a couple times post McCarran-Ferguson where that occurred. ERISA, which most of you have heard me talk about ad nauseum for the last several weeks when we deal with mandates, that's where ERISA comes from. It is an exception to the preemption that gave back specifically that authority to the federal government. Unless you have questions, I could give you more than you ever wanted to know about that kind of background. But I just clearly want to, one, express my support for this resolution. And I'd like to think it's not just self-interest. It is my job versus a federal regulator. And that's really not my goal. In addition to the bills that have been introduced in both bodies of Congress, on Monday there was a report issued by the Treasury Department that is very overreaching, changing how all financial institutions are regulated. It actually is called the Blueprint for Modernized Financial Regulatory Structure. It would deal with changing how we regulate banks, thrifts, insurance. Again, it also proposes a federal regulator. And it's drawn a lot of controversial comments. And there are two things I'd like to leave you with today, and one of those comes from the National Conference of Insurance Legislators. And I think, Mr. Chairman, you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. I had, on Sunday, I was at our national regulatory meeting, and I spoke with the president of NCOIL, and his organization, which represents people who do what you do in this committee. You look at the insurance regulations in our state is strongly opposed to this resolution, really in two ways. And these are obviously somewhat inflammatory statements. They're from a press release. But Representative Kennedy indicated the report draws state insurance regulation, which is constantly developing and responding to its healthy competitive markets, into the fray along with less regulated and less accountable financial services sectors, such as bank, thrift, securities, that are presently managed by the federal government. The Fed's most recent subprime fiasco, as well as FEMA's evident shortcomings in Hurricane Katrina. I mean, there's a real concern about oversight. I have actually heard an insurance company trade association speak to CNN on Monday after this report was released about regulation at a federal level, and it would not be the same as the regulation we have today. There are two primary areas of regulation that we deal with. One is financial oversight, solvency regulation. We've had that discussion here. We've had issues with that. And the other is consumer protection. And if you would indulge me, I will do this very briefly. But I want to make consumer protection real. And we deal with real people. We have in my department a consumer services section. They're called consumer services specialists. And we get consumer complaints. We will range anywhere from 400 to 600 a year official complaints, plus lots of phone calls where we provide assistance in other ways. What I'd like to read to you is from, obviously, a positive complaint, and we occasionally do get criticism, as you're well aware. But I think this makes what we do for consumers real. We do a survey when we close a complaint. They come to me in a confidential envelope so that I see them, not the person who may be negatively impacted by that particular result and throw it away. I mean, I don't think my staff would do that. But these come back to me. This is in response to that survey, which was completed in a 3-page handwritten letter. Somebody took that kind of time. It says, I cannot adequately express my and my wife's gratitude for your quick and effectual response and our plea for help regarding the problems with, and I'm not going to give a company name. After your interceding on our behalf, we immediately received checks in the amount of over $20,000, and so far payments have been prompt. We are just too old and tired to keep fighting with them. I'm kind of skipping some things here. It is such a relief to us to be rid of the stress and costly problem of receiving only about a third of the refunds we felt we were due. When we heard about your department, we immediately wrote you. With the quick results and finally receiving about $20,000 in reimbursement checks owed us, you will never know what a relief it was. It came just as we were about at our wit's end. I didn't know where to turn. We got in touch with you as soon as we were told about your department. Again, many thanks from our hearts. This is a three-page letter. This is what I think we give to consumers. I don't think a federal regulator will ever provide that level of assistance.
Well said. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that Linda could give us probably 5 hours easily if I'm here in the Ferguson Act, but I'm a little concerned when I see something like this, because what it says is that legislature opposes anything that would establish a federal insurance regulatory system. I understand that. But it also says, or otherwise alter the McCarran-Ferguson Act. Now, I don't know what's in the McCarran-Ferguson Act. If you can guarantee me that it only deals with feds trying to take control over the state insurance, I understand that. But how do I know what it does include protection for sea lions? I mean, that's what I need to know, is what does that bill, without going into great detail, can we be assured that it only deals with the federal insurance regulatory system?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I am not an expert on McCarran-Ferguson. I think it doesn't deal with seals, but I could not say it doesn't deal with other areas of federal regulation. I really don't know. I do know that it specifically is a place where states got the authority to regulate insurance. They became, through that act, the exclusive, it's referred to as a negative exemption. But I really can't give you that assurance.
Okay. It is a little problematic because mm-hmm. it sort of concerns me that a bill would include such a broad sweeping statement. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the right thing to do, maybe it's the wrong thing to do.
Well, we can pose that question to Ms. Lidster. She's taking notes back there for Representative Coghill, and I guess it's fair to say that the committee would request a clarification about what's encompassed in that act, and with this resolution, what we'd be committing ourselves to maintaining. So if you can assure us it's just insurance regulation and the level of government at which that occurs, that would, I think, help our deliberations. So anything else for Ms. Hall? If not, thank you for getting right to the point. Okay, Mr. Grummet, you do want to come forward. Okay, please. If you could just give your name and affiliation for the record, and then go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Grummet. I am the president of the Alaska Independent Agents and Brokers. I also am vice president of Shattuck and Grummet down around the corner. And I wanted to speak to this bill. I think Linda hit it on the head. I mean, for us, it's about consumer protections and level of responsiveness that consumers get. We don't feel that if this couple would have had to call a 1-800 number back into Washington, that they would have had the results that they received, and clearly not as quickly if they even did. We are against federal regulation for a variety of reasons. You should have this letter from us in your packet.
We do.
And I don't know if you've had a chance to look over it, but there's opposition to this from State Farm, which is a national carrier. And I just wanted to touch on that, you know, their letter's interesting, but they don't really tell the whole story. The reality is that any insurer or agent that opted to obtain the federal charter would be entirely regulated from Washington, and then they would have to abide by those laws. And the laws established by the state legislators wouldn't have any teeth at all in that regard. There are things that we want to improve upon, but we don't need a federal regulatory system to do that. And that has to do with surplus lines and reinsurance reform, as well as agent and company licensing reform, which I know they're working on. Let's see here. The major impacts for us, and I'm not on the life insurance side. We do sell life insurance, but I'm coming from the property casualty and angle. And what it would result in is agents and brokers having to become experts in two different regulatory environments, as opposed to the one we have now. I think it would be even more confusing for the consumer to try and distinguish between the two. Small insurance companies would be at a competitive disadvantage. Obviously, as Linda said, I mean, Linda pretty much said it all. I'm just trying to highlight a few things here.
Sure.
One of the things I want to bring up is that the premium tax that is provided by the insurance company in this state, I think, is number four or number three, and the general fund contribution was, I believe, last year at $46 million. And that would go away. They say it would be optional and they wouldn't want our premium tax, but it's the feeling of our national lobby and everybody else that, you know, within a matter of time it would be gone. That companies would justify it by saying, why pay taxes to the state? Mm-hmm. That is really all I have. Everything else has been touched on. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Mr. Grummet, thank you for your presentation. The letter that you referenced there, we do not have. So committee staff will want to borrow that from you and get copies that will go into everyone's packet, and they can review that. I thought it stood to reason that you were the Grummet of Shattuck and Grummet. I've been in Juneau a while for legislative sessions, and I'm familiar with the good reputation of your company.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Comments or questions? If not, thank you for putting your testimony on the record. We appreciate it. It helps us in our deliberations.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else who would like to testify at this time? Anyone online? Hearing and seeing none, we will hold this bill over, and Ms. Lidster will work diligently to answer the concern about the McCarran-Ferguson Act. And if there are any other comments or requests for information, please let committee staff know, and we'll get that handled in an expeditious manner and have this bill back before us, or this resolution back before us in the very near future. Is there any further business to come before, so the bill is officially held over? Is there any further business to come before us today? If not, again, my thanks to everyone, and especially the staffers and support staff here for helping us out on Saturday. It is that time of year to get the work done and out of here in 90 days. So thank you all very much. At 11:45, we are adjourned.